The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Face Your Financial Fears for Good. Are you out of work? Strapped for cash? Tiffany, the budgetista, Alish, has been there and recovered. Now she shares effective ways to de-stressing about money. The COVID-19 pandemic unexpectedly overturned many household finances. It is a stress that is all too familiar to Tiffany, the budgetista. During the 2008 economic recession, Alish found herself out of a job and in a financial rut. But as the former preschool teacher started to work through her financial woes, she realized she could help others in the process. Thus began her new career, dedicated to educating women on staying financially whole. Realizing the financial freedom is not always guaranteed, Alish wants us to shift our mindset to setting critical goals, which she outlines in her forthcoming book, Get Good with Money, 10 Simple Steps to Becoming Financially Whole, available March 30th. According to Alish, financial wholeness is achieved when all aspects of your financial life are working together for your greatest good, your biggest benefit, and your richest life. In the book, Alish breaks down 10 core aspects of financial wholeness. I wanted to create a book that would be a guide on your financial journey, and one that honors where you already are and tells you how to get you to where you'd like to be, she explains. Learn the phases of financial stress. The Great Recession of 2008 affected the global economy as well as Alicia's personal circumstances, and she can empathize with the financial stresses people currently face. She recalls how financially, emotionally, and mentally devastating that period of her life was, as she panicked over how she'd make money. For me, this period is like deja vu, she reveals. She cautions those of us who are struggling to avoid blaming ourselves for our current financial situation. The New Jersey native learned that shame-induced thinking blocks our ability to see solutions. When you are carrying this guilt, this anger, this shame toward yourself, you can't see what is possible, she says. Once you let go of the shame, you begin to realize that you are not alone in your suffering and that there can be a solution. Once we enter this phase, Alish says, we can start to face our financial concerns and work to fix them. Choose your landing spot. If money isn't coming in, Alish says, you need a solid place to land. Commit to paying only bills that are a part of your health and safety budget. Health and safety bills look different for everyone. For example, rent may not be a safety bill if you have someone you can stay with temporarily. Back when Alish lost her job, she moved in with her parents as she determined her mortgage was not essential to safety. Look at all your situation and ask yourself, do I need to make those payments to maintain my physical and emotional health? Do I need to maintain this payment to maintain my safety? Then adjust accordingly. Seek additional income. Time away from work is a chance to reevaluate your skill sets, and seek sources of additional income. Float and then ask yourself, in what ways can I draw income to my family? She says, with the uptick in business ownership during the pandemic, Alish suggests it's a perfect time to find ways to assist new entrepreneurs. You can use online communities like Facebook groups to share your skills and source paid opportunities. The next article is titled, A Seat at the Table. These Black women dedicated to public service could be the solution America needs. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris promised a White House that looks like America. And if all the women nominated to serve the country back in January are confirmed, the Biden-Harris administration could boast the highest number of cabinet and cabinet-level offices held by women in history, according to the Center for American Women and Politics at Rutgers University. To meet the unprecedented challenges facing the American people, we will need deeply experienced and knowledgeable leaders, Harris said at a January press conference. The possibility of so many brilliant Black women coming into the new administration makes J.S. Clinton, a senior advisor at the Democratic National Committee, immensely proud, she says. With Harris firmly in her position, here are a few more inspiring women ready to lead. Susan Rice, director of the White House Domestic Policy Council. Armed with extensive government bona fides, Rice is the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations and national security advisor in the Obama administration. She will ensure racial justice is at the forefront of every federal agency's agenda. NAACP president slash CEO Derek Johnson has said, Rice, a Stanford grad and Rhodes Scholar, earned a Doctor of Philosophy in International Relations at the University of Oxford in England. Number two, Christian Clark, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division. The daughter of Jamaican immigrants and a Columbia Law School grad, served as President slash Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law. Christian is a force of nature, the Honorable Shira co-chair said in a statement with other members of the Lawyers Committee Board of Directors. She has been working tirelessly to ensure that all Americans share the same rights and privileges as equal members of our society. Number three, Brenda Mallory, chair of the Council of Environmental Quality. Mallory is the former director of regulatory policy at the Southern Environmental Law Center, where her portfolio included what she deemed the most significant environmental issues of our time. During the Obama administration, the Yale University and Columbia Law School alumnus served as general counsel for the White House Council on Environmental Quality. Number four, Cecilia Rouse, Ph.D., chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, CEA for short, a top labor economist with a Ph.D. in economics from Harvard University. Rouse is the first Black official to head the CEA. The former dean of the Princeton School of Public and International Affairs has worked both in academia and in government, focusing on women and people of color in the labor force. This job is about advising the president on how to rebuild and revive our economy, the California native has said. Number five, Linda Thomas Greenfield, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Thomas Greenfield is a 35-year veteran of the U.S. Foreign Service. The career diplomat has held roles as former Assistant Secretary for the Bureau of African Affairs and Ambassador to Liberia. Her global postings have included Switzerland, Pakistan, and Jamaica. My mother taught me to lead with the power of kindness and compassion to make the world a better place. The alumni of Louisiana State University, who holds an MPA from the University of Wisconsin, has said, "I've carried that lesson with me throughout my career." Number 6, Jewel H. Braunah, PhD, Deputy Secretary of Agriculture. Jewel, the former commissioner of the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, was Dean of the College of Agriculture at Virginia State University. Her initiatives have ranged from addressing farmers' mental health to food access issues in marginalized communities. She's eager to promote U.S. agriculture, help end hunger, and preserve our nation's natural resources. The Petersburg, Virginia native earned her Ph.D. from Virginia Tech. Number 7, Marcella Nunez Smith, M.D., COVID-19 Equity Task Force Chair. Dr. Nunez Smith is the founding director of the Equity Research and Innovation Center at the Yale School of Medicine, an organization created to address inequities in health and health care. She will advise the White House on efforts to reduce COVID-19 racial and ethnic disparities around the pandemic. Originally from St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, Dr. Nunez Smith received her BA from Swarthmore College, her MD from Jefferson Medical College, and a master's in health science from Yale University. Number 8, Marcia Fudge, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Fudge, known to Ohioans as former mayor of Warrensville Heights, served in Congress for 12 years in the 113th Congress. She chaired the Congressional Black Caucus. "We first need to build a foundation for those struggling with housing," Fudge, who graduated from The Ohio State University and earned her JD from Cleveland State University's Cleveland Marshall College of Law, has said, "That means ensuring people keep their homes during a pandemic and keeping people off the streets. Then we can start enacting programs that make life better." Fudge is a past national president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. The next article is titled, "What Entrepreneurs Know Now. Three Business Owners Predict What 2021 Will Bring for Their Ventures and Share Lessons Learned in 2020. From the uncertainty generated by the pandemic to delays in governmental assistance, the financial challenges of 2020 were often wearing for small business owners. Still, many managed to turn their fiscal struggles into green, learning critical lessons along the way. Here, three Black women entrepreneurs detail where they are now with their businesses and how they have prepared for an uncertain future. Mariah Ragland, owner of Radical Rabbit in Nashville. For the past 2 years, Mariah Ragland has served up vegan soul food through a pop-up concept, Radical Rabbit in Nashville. "A week before COVID-19 hit Nashville," she recalls, "we launched what was to be an ongoing Sunday buffet in partnership with a local Black-owned dessert lounge. I used my savings to prepare for this event, and after the first week, we had to cancel. But Radical Rabbit pivoted to a grab-and-go meal model available at local markets. Listening to customers' needs was a lesson within itself. Raglan says, "We learned that our customers were concerned for their safety and avoided even small crowds. The business now also delivers food to customers' homes and has changed the way the food is prepared. Our food is now packaged cold for reheating instead of served hot," she says. "We had to adapt our marketing to find ways to keep people excited about our quote-unquote TV dinners and stay in business as the competition for packaged food grew tenfold." Raglan believes restaurateurs with pop-up business models will have to continue to find new means to serve customers as venues and foot traffic will continue to be scarce given ongoing social distancing restrictions. Restaurants will begin to package meals more in the newly trending ghost kitchens that are delivery-only food vendors, she states. "I think businesses that are not able to provide the to-go model of getting food out to people, as we have learned, will get left behind in 2021. Vanetta Caraway, owner of Ritzy Glitzy Girls Club, New York City. For the past 12 years, Vanetta Caraway has provided kids from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut with glam parties. Her pink Ritzy Glitzy Kids birthday party bus is a glam spa on wheels, offering kid-friendly manicures, pedicures, hairstyling, makeovers, and facials. But with COVID-19 hitting the tri-state area early and hard, the party stopped at the beginning of the pandemic, and many customers wanted refunds. "I've learned that you have to be prepared for anything," Caraway reflects, "because business could be booming one second, and then the next second, everything is turned upside down." Was that there is magic in simplifying your business model. She used the shelter in place for non-essential workers as a period to create a plan for reopening her business. Caraway started by offering customers only one party package instead of four and eliminated services in Connecticut and New Jersey. Her bookings increased once the New York City stay-at-home order was lifted and the company expanded its bus fleet to four. What sparked this growth? A lot of the physical locations that kids used to go to had started to fizzle out, says Caraway, who was already thinking ahead. Now we offer the convenience of coming to them. Maya Sly, founder of Walk-In Weaves and Pretty Hair Atlanta. The beauty industry took a hit this year as salon owners saw their clients dwindle due to stay-at-home orders and the constraints of maintaining social distancing in salons. A business that was doing an average of $70,000 to $100,000 a month is now doing $7,000 a month, says Maya Sly, owner of Walk in Weaves. How do you bounce back from that? Sly believes 2021 will continue to be a challenge for the beauty industry as it tries to stay financially solvent as clients become more comfortable maintaining their hair at home. Ironically, that's why her pretty hair unit sales are up 20%, with her customers buying hair to make wigs instead of getting weaves. In the beauty space, I think it's going to be super important to really look at your particular clientele and see how you can fulfill a need that they have. Sly says she believes strongly in the importance of having other streams of income. After over 20 years in the business, I've learned to apply those entrepreneurial skills to other industries, she says, adding that the pandemic, her insurance, and real estate businesses have been thriving. This growth is due in large part to her salon. The clients at my salon have grown every single business I have, she explains. There's not one day that goes by that my clients don't refer me to someone for one or more of my other businesses. The next article is titled, 10 Things We're Talking About. Here's the news you should know. Number one, a home run of epic proportions. This spring, Bianca Smith stepped up as Boston Red Sox minor league coach, becoming the first Black woman to coach professional baseball. Reflecting on her legacy, Smith had this to say, I want mine to be that I helped our players get to the level that they want to, both on and off the field. Number two, the show must go on. Red carpet fever is running high in Hollywood. Will Regina King win with her directorial masterpiece, One Night in Miami? Will Viola Davis and the late Chadwick Boseman cement their unforgettable performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom with an award-seizing sweep? Fingers crossed. Number three, Black Techcellence. Tech entrepreneur Courtney Smith is making cyber waves with her social media decision-making app, Nunu. To date, investors include venture capital firms like Will Smith's Dreamers VC and Andreessi Horowitz. Number four, taking back the Senate. The overwhelming turnout by Black voters paid off for Georgia Senators Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff in their runoff races in January. With their victories and Vice President Kamala Harris's tie-breaking vote, Democrats now control both houses of Congress, giving the new administration's legislative agenda a winning chance. Number five, the first 100. April 30th will mark 100 days in office for President Biden. Among other priorities, Biden's 100-day plan includes introducing a massive immigration bill and providing immediate assistance to state and local governments to help them better combat and contain the COVID-19 pandemic in their communities. Number six, Queen Black Girl Magic, Charlotte. Shonda Rhimes' Netflix debut, Bridgerton, has revived rumors of Queen Charlotte's Black heritage in outlets ranging from the Washington Post to OprahMag.com. Though the regent is depicted as a Black woman in the series, the jury is still out regarding the validity of this claim. Number seven, Poets Lead the Way. From inaugural showstopper and national youth poet laureate Amanda Gorman to talents like Douglas Kearney and icons like Audre Lorde, there's no shortage of brilliant Black poets to celebrate for National Poetry Month in April. Number eight, Partake Foods is thriving. This Black woman-owned vegan food brand has secured some $7.5 million in funding from Rihanna, her and Jay-Z's VC fund, among others. Founder Denise Woodard says more than 50% of the funding to date has come from Black investors. We love to see it. Number nine, who run the world? Black women have been making history since the beginning of time, but with Madam Vice President Harris now in office, plus the record number of women in the cabinet, this year's Women's History Month will be extra special. Number 10, My Newsroom Looks Like Me. NBCU Academy will invest $6.5 million total dollars to provide a multi-platform journalism training and development program for students pursuing degrees at 17 higher education institutions, including 6 HBCUs. The next article is titled, The Plant Parenthood Guide. Spring is a good time to add more greenery to your home. Join in the fun with these handy tips. Plants have a sort of magic about them. Swiss cheese plant or pot those to a room and suddenly the energy shifts. Chances are you have heard a friend or internet fave talk about how tendering to their babies has helped them with self-care. Or maybe you remember the sea of green at a grandparent's or aunt's home when you were growing up. Beautiful, right? And calming, too. Studies have shown that plants help purify the air, reduce stress, and improve productivity and mood. We think it's about time you add some of that green joy to your own home, which is why we are sharing these plant parent-approved tips and tricks for beginners and wannabe pros. Our guide will help ensure that the members of your plant family thrive. One way to share your love of plants with friends or just have more plants in your home is plant propagation. It is also a way to preserve a plant that is struggling. I have had some plants that I felt were on their way to the little botanical garden in the sky, and I propagated them to save a piece of them or so I could just regrow them, says Griffin, who watched his grandmother do the same with her plants when he was a kid. Clip a piece of your plant, then put it in a jar of water or a soil-less potting mix. You will want to research techniques specific to the plant you're propagating and watch as new roots sprout. After a few weeks, it should be ready for soil. Overall, treat your plant journey as a time to learn. Growth will shift with the seasons. New plants will bring new lessons, and moving to a different home could mean a whole new routine. Be patient, and as you become aware of each plant's needs, be sure to lean into nurturing yourself through changes as well. Have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.